This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Thank you all for being here, and to all the study circles around the world. Alhamdulillah, it's a great honor and pleasure to begin this class with Imam Zaid Shakir. And the the idea behind the class is the importance of reviving love, mercy, and affection within the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to build a prophetic community and strengthening those bonds of love in doing so. Just very briefly, an introduction about loneliness in the world today. I work a lot with students, and it's not uncommon to come across students when they come for counseling who are dealing with a range of emotional issues, challenges, sometimes some mental challenges. And one thing that I see time and time again, particularly at a place like the University of Toronto, which is a very busy academic lifestyle, and many people commute, so they spend a lot of time getting to school, getting back home, and at the entire time they're either in class or at the library studying, is there isn't a whole lot of time with friends. Just, you know, real human interactions. And there's a shift both kind of on the ground level with students and as a whole in many human relationships, the family unit, society, community. And we need to be aware of these changes, and we need to know how to respond. Just a few statistics about the dangers of loneliness. And these specific statistics here are related to the United Kingdom. You have 51% of people over the age of 75 living alone, that they live completely alone. So half of people who are over 75 are alone all of the time, or live alone. And there was a story in a newspaper of an elderly couple in the UK that called 999, which is like 911. They called the police, and the police came to their apartment, and they said, "We just wanted someone to come by because we were lonely. Can you have a cup of tea with us?" So they're calling emergency, you know, just so someone will spend some time with them. 40% of elderly people say that TV is their main source of company. This isn't progress. This is a regression in just the basic human human relationships. There's also an increase in loneliness, you know, in the United States. This is from the U.S. Census. In 1940, less than 15% of people were in single households. That was in 1940. In 1970 census, the number rose between 15 to 20 who were living alone. And in the 2000 census, over 25% were living in single households. Over 25%. So the number of people who are even just living alone is rising. And there was a story from Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, where a man committed a crime, and Sayyidina Umar's punishment for the man was to banish him for a year, that he had to live in exile for 1 year. And when the man came back, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he saw the effects of being alone in that extreme condition on this man, he said, "I'll never punish someone with this punishment again. I'll never do that to anyone again." So you're starting to see this rise in loneliness, and many people are saying social media does not make up for it. And, you know, a loss of a sense of community. And even they're saying, in terms of medically and the effect on physical health, they're saying loneliness increases the odds of an early death by 45%. That being alone increases the odds of an early death by 45%. And they're saying it's worse than smoking 15 cigarettes a day, being in a state of loneliness. And inshallah, we'll have on the forum an interesting TED talk called The Lethality of Loneliness by Dr. John Cacciupio. So inshallah, without further ado, we'll have Imam Zaid inshallah share some wisdom with us. Bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah kul khair.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, it's a great honor to be here at the Seekers Hub, such a beautiful, inviting space. The colors are very tranquil. And the message is tranquil, dignity, reverence, serenity, and love, and high aspiration. Allahu Akbar. And the people are very beautiful, and the youngsters especially so. May Allah protect them and protect everyone and protect this space and bless it to fulfill its mission and bless all of you out there in the various seekers circles of knowledge and aspiration. May Allah Ta'ala bless all of you. I would like to speak in the context of the subject so very beautifully and movingly introduced by Amjad Tarsin, the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, an Uman ibn Bashirin radiallahu anhu, anhuma, qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل المؤمنين في توديهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم مثل الجسد إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى رواه المسلم. So this hadith related by Imam Muslim and others on the authority of Nu'man ibn Bashir, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, both of whom were companions, similar to Ibn Abbas, where Ibn Abbas and his father Abbas were both companions. So we say, radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with the two of them, that the Messenger of Allah, may the blessings and peace of Almighty Allah, Almighty God, be upon them, that the Messenger of Allah, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, said, the likeness of the believers in their mutual love, their mutual mercy, their mutual affection is like a single body. If one part of the body complains of some injury, the entire body, all of the parts of the body call to each other with fever, with sleeplessness rather, and fever. So this is a very, very profound and powerful hadith, and it goes right to the issue of community. That not only are the Muslims a community, not only are the believers a community, but they are an affectionate, merciful, and emotionally invested community. That, or we should be, anyway. So the first quality of that community that the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is love. And it's not just love in the abstract, it's mutual love. Tawaddihim, their love for each other. And this reminds us of a very, very important aspect of our religion, and that's mutuality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions love, again, there's mutuality involved. So he doesn't just mention his love for the believers or the believers' love for him. He mentions the love they have for each other. So, for example, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ عِزَّةً عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ ذِلَّةً عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ etc. to the end of the verse. So, oh, you believers, and so again, مَثُلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the believers are being referred to here. Similarly, in the ayah, the verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, the believers are being addressed. Whoever amongst you turns back on his deen, and most commentaries mention this is an irtidad akdi. It's not creedal or theological apostasy, but it is من يرتد منكم عن نصرة دينه, from helping the religion. So we have a responsibility to help our religion, brothers and sisters. إن تنصروا الله ينصركم أي إن تنصروا دين الله ينصركم. If you help Allah's religion, Allah doesn't need help. هو الغني والحميد, is worthy, free of all needs, worthy of all praise. So if you help the deen of Allah, Allah will help you. But the point, he will bring another people in your place whom he will love and they will love him. Mutuality. Whom he will love and they will love him. And so the love mentioned in this hadith is a mutual love. Their love for each other. So the love that we have shouldn't be unreciprocated love, which can be the most painful form of love. Love that's unreciprocated is terrible. We all have our experiences with that in our youth. So I won't elaborate on that. But just to mention the magnitude of love, that it's a part of our faith in terms of completing and perfecting and fulfilling our faith. So for example, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. No one of you truly believes until he or she loves for their brother and sister what they love for themselves. So, again, love for our brother, love for our sister, connected with the completion of our faith. لا يؤمنوا. So it's not a negation of faith. So you know, saying you absolutely don't believe, but no one's faith is completed until, amongst other things, he or she loves for their brother or sister what they love for themselves. So they love for their brothers and sisters what they love for themselves. And this hadith, amongst other things, is one of the foundations of da'wah. We should be people actively inviting people to Islam. That's part of our mission. The other side, so one wall here in the Seeker's Hub, mashallah, dignity, reverence, serenity, love, and high aspiration, adab of dhikr. On the other side, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ilallahi bi idhnihi wa sirajan munira. So, O people, we have sent you, testing my glasses now, as a witness, a bearer of glad tidings, and a warner, as a caller to God by with his permission, and a shining light. So as a caller to God. So this is an integral part of our activity as both as individual Muslims and our community, as it was an integral part of the Prophet's mission, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why do I say that? Our brother and sisters in faith, our brothers and sisters in humanity. We should love for them to have faith as we've been blessed with faith. We should love for them to have the personal security and serenity. Serenity, again, on the other side here, I feel like a ping pong ball bouncing back and forth from one side, one wall to the other. But serenity so that the need for drugs, the need for alcohol, etc., the need for these various addictions, shopping until you drop, which is an addiction, the need to just eat, 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 is not there. Why? Because there's inner peace and there's inner serenity. Why? Because there's faith. And we who have benefited from that, some of us know that how Islam has empowered us to overcome various things we were wrestling with. Wouldn't we love for our brothers and sisters who might still be afflicted with some of those addictions to have that inner strength and inner serenity to help them overcome them? Similarly, لا تدخلون الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا أولا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحببتم أفشوا السلام بينكم. So you won't enter paradise until you truly believe, and you will not truly believe until you love one another. So again, the mutual love is not hatta tuhibbu, hatta tahabbu, until you love one another. Shall I not direct you to something which, were you to do it, you would love one another? Spread the greeting and the essence of peace between yourselves. Afshu salama baynakum. And that means, first and foremost, the actual greeting, but not the greeting, assalamualaikum, why are you bothering me? I'm just minding my business. Why can't you mind your business? You know, you get scared to give people salam. Like, salam alaikum, brother. She quiet, man. People know I'm Muslim. You crazy? You know what's going on in the world? Alaykum as-salam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Kayfa halukum? Bi khair wa alhamdulillah. Yani, afshu salam abaynakum. The mean, the greeting, actual greeting, and the spirit behind it. What is the spirit behind it? Where does the salam come from? Salima yaslamu salaman. Salima yaslamu salaman. So it comes from salima. And what's salima? To render someone safe. And so what is the spirit of the greeting? Al-muslimuna. Al-muslimu man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. The Muslim is one. The other Muslims are safe from their tongue and their hand. That's the spirit behind the greeting. So there's the greeting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then there's the spirit of it. Al-muslimu man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. The Muslim is the one. The other Muslims are safe from his or her tongue or his or her hand. May Allah give us tawfiq. And then the mutual mercy. So mercy again is another vital characteristic. And mercy is the willingness to suffer loss, pain, hardship for the sake of the one mercy is shown to. And so love can be confined to the emotional realm. And love can be very subjective. But mercy is expressed in the world through action. And mercy is very objective. Love can mean many different things to many different people. And there's the objective aspect of it in terms of ta'rifat, how it's defined. But mercy, most people, it means pretty much the same thing to virtually everyone. It's very objective. And the essence of it, the willingness to sacrifice and the willingness to suffer on the part of one shows mercy to. And so, again, this is a mutual phenomenon, if you will, that should qualify our community and qualify our relationships with each other. So the companions were yuthiruna ala anfusihim walau kana bihim khasasa. They gave preference to others. This was a manifestation of mercy, even though they had dire needs. They were willing to suffer deprivation, to suffer hardship, to go without food so that the other could eat, ithar. And so this is a manifestation of mercy. And again, this should qualify our relationships with one another. And it should qualify our community in terms of the characteristics that define our community. One should be mercy. And again, a hadith very, very close to the one we mentioned concerning love. لَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَرَحَمُوا. You will not enter paradise until you truly believe, and you will not truly believe until you are merciful to one another. كُلُّنَا رَحِيمٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. All of us are merciful, Messenger of Allah. لَيْسَتْ رَحْمَةُ أَحَدِكُمْ صَاحِبًا. This isn't the mercy one of you might show to those closest to you. That's the easy part. Parents to the child, child to the parents, relatives to the relatives, friends to friends, people to their neighbors. We know those people, we're close to them. And so because we know them and our lives are connected with their lives, it's easier to be merciful to them. But the Prophet mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in various versions, innama hiya rahmatul nasi, rahmatul amma. It's mercy to all people, mercy to the generality of people, to the general public. So we are merciful people. We should be a merciful community. And that mercy should be reciprocal and it should be reciprocated. And then he mentions wa ta'atufihim and their mutual affection. And just in the interest of time, two of the strongest affections that we have, or emotions, or the mutual emotion, their emotional attachment and connectivity, are our happiness and our sadness. And one of the hadith our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us with, "Al-mu'minu yafrahu bi farhati akhihi." The believer is pleased and happy by those things that makes his or her brother or his or her sister happy. وَيَحْزُنُوا بِحُزْنِهِ And he's saddened by those things that sadden him. She's saddened by those things that sadden her. So again, our attachment should be so close and our hearts should be so close that those things that bring joy and delight and happiness into the lives of our brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, there should be happiness and bring happiness to our hearts and into our lives. Understand there's a wedding or two right now, even as we speak. We should be overjoyed by that. Allahu Akbar. We should be very happy, especially for the sister. Because it's tough for sisters to get married in some age groups and some parts and some demographics. So we should be overjoyed. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So we're happy with that which, and we should be saddened by that which saddens our brothers and sisters. We should be saddened by the situation many of our Muslim brothers and sisters are enduring, not only in faraway places in Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan or parts of India that are experiencing persecution, or wherever, Libya and the turmoil there. We should be also saddened by those things that sadden our brothers and sisters right here in this country, here in Canada, where I'm currently speaking from, or in the United States, where inshallah I'll be tomorrow. We should be saddened. We shouldn't be crushed by sadness, because then we can lose hope and we can stop working. But we should be motivated by sadness to work harder on their behalf, to do more to alleviate their suffering, and not more in terms of responding to the hardship that befalls them, responding to the disasters and calamities and catastrophes. That's very, very important. But also doing more to help to alleviate and to eliminate the causes, rather, to eliminate the causes of that hardship, doing more to try to address the policies that lead to wars, to address the tension and the torn relationships, the very opposite of what we're talking about now. We're talking about love, we're talking about mercy. How did the hatred come between the hearts of so many Muslims that they're moved to take up arms against each other? We should try to address that, brothers and sisters. That's our responsibility. We should try to protect our hearts so that that disease doesn't spread into our hearts, as some people would have it. There are many people, they want the Sunni-Shi'i friction that's present in many of our countries. They want it to come here to North America. We have to protect our hearts against that. We know Shi'i Muslims haven't done anything to us. They're saddened and grieved by the situation. They're disappointed in their fellow Shi'i brothers and sisters who have been dragged into situations where they're oppressing or killing and aggressing against Sunnis. They're saddened by this situation, and many of you know people in that particular boat, for lack of a better word. So we should protect ourselves so we can protect the positive emotional attachment and help to ward off the negative, because there are negative emotions. We mentioned love, there's hate. When we mentioned mercy, there's apathy. We mentioned positive emotional attachments. There's emotional detachment. لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا. So here, في توديهم, here, لا تباغضوا, don't hate one another. Don't foster and harbor mutual hatred against each other. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, all of these positive emotions and these positive attachments create a situation where we're unified like a single body, and if one part of that body is afflicted with something harmful, all of the body parts call to each other, they rally each other. And again, this is the mutuality continues. So just as it's not a one-way street in terms of the emotions and the attachments, it's not a one-way street in terms of the response. So if the finger is hurt, just the finger complains. Listen, this cut's going to get infected if you don't do something. And then you're going to have an infected finger. No, tada'a sa'irul jasad. So tada'a, not da'a, tada'a. All the parts call each other. Yo, head, you better get on this. Foot, you better get over to the doctor. You know, the whole body's involved. The entire body. Tada'a sa'irul jasad. So the whole body's rallying the various parts. To what extent? If the injury's unaddressed, there's sleeplessness. So you're going to bed, you didn't address your thing, you're so busy saving the world and organizing and working, you didn't take care of the cut and some bacteria got in there. Now your finger's turning colors and it's swollen up 3 times its normal size, and you try to go to sleep and you're sweating. You have a fever. Right? So you can't sleep and you have a fever. And then you say, I better do something. I should have listened to the body. And so, alhamdulillah, you finally listen. So this is at the end. That's the end of the line. The infection's gotten so bad, I can't sleep. I'm sweating. I have a fever. I better get to the doctor for real. So this should be how we are as a community. We should be very sensitive to each other. We should address the wound right away before it becomes infected. And because once it's infected, right, if the infection is really bad, amputation. And so the brotherhood, the sisterhood breaks down to a certain extent that now that injured part is separated from the body. And so we don't want to see that. We want to see all of the brothers and sisters united. And there are various levels. We don't have to all go and eat in each other's houses, but the unity exists to the point that we're not going to be slandering them. We're not going to be looking for the little differences we can exploit that would drive us further apart and maybe eventually lead to that amputation of that limb. But we're going to try to keep it together, and we're going to try to address the injuries. And of course, they're not always physical like the infected finger. There's emotional injuries that are far, far more dangerous potentially, because the physical injury might kill the finger. The cut on the finger, it gets so bad indeed, gangrene, we have to amputate it. But the non-physical injuries that we sometimes can, even inadvertently, afflict each other with, might kill the heart. And when the heart is dead, everything dies. أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. So that heart, when it's corrupt, and if it dies, respectively, everything's corrupt or everything will die. So we thank you for your attentiveness. We thank Ustad Amjad, Chaplain Amjad, for such a wonderful framing of the issue in the class and the subsequent sessions. We thank Sheikh Faraz for his hospitality and his kindness and opening the doors. And let's make a fatiha for the completion of his recovery from his surgery. Fatiha ala niyatil al-shifa, the Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Allahumma rabban nas athib al-bats, ishfi anta shafi wa'athu anta al-mu'afi, la shifa'a ila shifa'uk, shifa'uka ya Allah, shifa'uka ya Allah, shifa'uka ya Allah, li abdika wa qadimika wa qadim al-umma wal-muslimin. Al-Sheikh Faraz Rabbani, shifa'an la yugadru saqaman wala alama. Al-Fatiha. Bismillah. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
جزاكم الله خير إمام زيد. I just wanted to, to just firstly express my thanks to Imam Zaid for coming and gracing us. And this, of all topics that Imam Zaid could have talked about, for me this is the most poignant of topics of brotherhood. Imam Zaid is our senior, but from when I came to know him in person, I've been following Imam Zaid for over 20 years. From his, we had tapes of Imam Zaid that he recorded
back in the day.
Yeah, from when he was in New Haven, Connecticut. But we met in Damascus in 97, and though he's significantly older and senior to us, he's always been an older brother for so many people, and always there. And I remember once I was just book shopping, and I found a book. It had to do with something related to West African history or something. And Imam Zaid was traveling from Damascus in just a few days later. So I got a copy of the book, and I gave it to Imam Zaid. And Imam Zaid received it the day before he was traveling, the day of his travel, and we lived on two opposite sides of Damascus. The day of his travel, Imam Zaid came, even though he knew that we were going to come to see him, off to the airport. He came from his house to drop off a gift to reciprocate. It was a book and something. And I'm like, Imam Zaid, what are you doing here? We're about to come there. But I gave him a. This is a small book, nothing significant. Like in that, he came across town on the day he was traveling from Damascus to give a book. And Imam Zaid's always been there. I've been to the Bay Area a number of times, and we've had a small fundraiser for seekers. And I calculated actually like 50, 60 miles from where Imam Zaid is. Someone just asked Imam Zaid, could you come? And after a long day of teaching, etc., Imam Zaid's there. Right. At RS, you see all these people say, I met Imam Zaid, had an appointment with Imam Zaid, did this, did that. So this is really, for me, an example of that brotherhood. Do keep Imam Zaid in your du'as. Imam Zaid is surprisingly active on social media now. Do follow him. He posts some really invaluable lessons and teachings. And also, he has some amazing articles, always very topical and poignant, on his website, New Islamic Directions. And also the idea of mutual concern, Imam Zaid with our dear teacher, Sheikh Hamza, is at the forefront of this visionary project of Zaytuna College. It doesn't matter if you're not attending, your siblings aren't attending, you don't have kids yet because you're not married. You don't plan to go to the U.S. to study. We should be supporting such projects, right? Even if you're directly learning from other places. And also, we should recognize that all this good that we see, whether it be the RAS conference or all these projects, it's through the efforts of our seniors, Imam Zaid and Sheikh Hamza and their like. And we should all be supporting these projects, keeping them in our du'as, and likewise, of course, the Muslim Chaplaincy Project as well. This is a very important topic. Sidi Amjad has shared a breakdown of the lessons. So inshallah, do come out for the upcoming lessons and encourage friends and family as well to come. It's very, very important and to look at the qualities of what brings believers together. Barakallahu ta'ala fikum. I know a lot of you have to get to the Grand Maulid. It's going to be packed, so do get there, inshallah. Barakallahu ta'ala fikum. Jazakallahu khairan, Imam
Sayyid. Allah barik fikum, Sayyidi. Jazakumullah khairan. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan, Sayyidi. Nasta'dhinukum.